Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to be back here. It's been a long sabbatical away from this congregation, but Kathy made me very welcome as we discussed bulletins and putting them together and revising them. But it was a nice time when I was here following Ed's ministry with you folks. I'm sure most of you have figured out that we have a lunch after worship today, so those that wish to stay may go down the hall and I will greet you there. My wife Betsy and I will also have a chance to converse with you more. One of the things I sort of gotten used to in the churches I serve is that I like to get out of this pulpit and I like to be on your level. So with my microphone, hopefully everybody will be able to hear. It's probably a little more difficult for you to see in the back if you're at the same level, but hopefully our eye contact will be there. Let us begin our worship today. And the call to worship, Lee.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Is there any announcements?
Good morning. Quick update on WorldCare. This month we have been collecting mac and cheese for the Nashua Soup Kitchen. We cleared it off because there was a service here yesterday, but we have collected, at the moment, 124 boxes of mac and cheese, which is a lot more than I thought we were going to, given the weather this month, which has been pretty weird. So thank you all for your amazing generosity, and believe me, when we roll in with all this food every month, Soup Kitchen people are so happy. So you are doing an amazing thing, and thank you all.
Good morning. The education team is happy to put on the Great Pilgrim Church Easter Egg Hunt at 12 noon, so probably right when the brunch ends. And anyone who has kids, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, if they're going to come after the service, we're going to be gathering in front of the sanctuary at noon.
Good morning. Just a quick reminder, this is your last, tomorrow is the last day to order flowers for Easter Sunday, which is a week away. There's an insert in your bulletin, and you're also welcome to buy flowers from Home Depot or Lowe's and bring them in and add them to our collection. I just need to know your message. If you have any questions, see me at the brunch. Thank you.
I just wanted to mention the flowers that you see here today are a thank you from the service yesterday. My friend's ex-husband passed away and the service was held here, and they were very grateful for the church hosting his service. So they left these beautiful flowers here for us to enjoy. And as you can see, there are two beautiful palm trees here. And last year, Rowena, block your ears. I killed last year's palms. So these are new, so I'm looking for someone to host them for a home until the fair next year. So if anybody would like to take one or both of these beautiful palms home until the fair, because we'll sell them at the fair, that would be great. Just let me know. Thanks.
Are there any other announcements? I have one. Alice LeBlanc is busy in the kitchen, but she has a joy today. Today she is celebrating her 29th birthday for the 35th time. So she wanted to share it with the congregation. So when you see her, wish her a happy birthday. Thank you. Those of you who are able, would you please stand and join me in reading the call to worship? Rejoice greatly, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O peace, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. Yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, even on a donkey's colt.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
You are our God, and we will praise you.
You are our God, and we will exalt you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His faithfulness faithful love endures forever.
Our opening hymn is number 216, All Glory, Lord, and Honor. Please join me in reading the prayer of invocation. God, we present our offerings today, knowing... Oh, excuse me. I'm in the wrong place. I'm sorry. That's the prayer of dedication. Oh, boy. Let's start over again. Merciful God, as we enter Holy Week and gather at your house of prayer, turn our thoughts to Jerusalem and the events of Jesus' life. We ask, O God, for ears that will listen, minds that will reflect, and lives that are open to the renewal of our spirits. In the final days of Jesus' life, he bore witness to your kingdom, broke bread with the disciples, and suffered the humiliating death of crucifixion. We know the struggle to witness as a congregation, and ask for your energy to prepare our church for the future, where it is welcomed and sometimes ignored. For we believe, help us in the time of unbelief. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And now, all the young children and children at heart and teenagers, please come forward. And for Pastor Woodward's children's sermon.
Now, you don't have Melinda here today, do you? She hasn't been here for a while. But I'm Reverend Woodward. And I got some grandchildren, but I think most of my grandchildren have grown up a little older than you folks are. But who can tell me what day it is? A special day in the life of the church. Do you know what day it is? Who can help me out? Maybe we have to have one of your teachers whisper. It is Palm Sunday, that's right. And it's a special day because it was a day when Jesus came to Jerusalem in a parade. Have any of you been to a parade? Well, some of us as adults know what a parade is. But a parade is a gathering of people who march along the street. And we do that occasionally here in Nashua. And what they brought with them were palms. Did you know what a palm is? How many people got a palm out there? Show the kids. You see what? And what are they doing with those palms? They're waving them. That's sort of a way of welcoming, isn't it? Waving a palm in the air. And how do you welcome people? Do you ever say hello? Hello is a nice way of saying hello to people. But Jesus on a road a what? Into Jerusalem. You know that part of the story? What did he ride? He rode a donkey. You know what a donkey is? He's a little smaller than a horse. And he usually was used in the garden pulling plows and things like that. So he was a donkey that was used to a lot of work. He wasn't the best animal for Jesus in some way. But he represented the donkey as part of the common people. And they raised the palm, Jesus rode on a donkey. And do you know what they said to Jesus? Hosanna, blessed who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was going into Jerusalem and he was welcoming, being welcomed by the people. And I think I'm going to let your teachers take care of you and tell you a little more about the story. But let's have a time of prayer. God, we are thankful for the children of this congregation and for their parents, for the new life they bring to continue the life of this church. And on this holy day of Palm Sunday and the Holy Week that follows, may they know that they are loved and cared for by their parents and may turn to them. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you guys can go where you need to go. We have hymn 213.
Oh,
You may be seated. The first reading is Psalm 118, a song of victory. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open me to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, and the righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Thus ends this reading. The second reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1, verse 11. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Thus ends these readings, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Assist us mercifully with your help, O Lord. God of our salvation, that we may enter with joy upon the contemplation of those mighty acts whereby you have given us life and immortality through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Preaching comes and goes for me, and it's been a long time since I've preached, probably over 7 months. But coming back and doing your service and then coming after Easter, I'm doing two services at Litchfield. I feel like I put the harness back on and I'm back into beginning to understand what the scriptures are saying in the season of this year. Out of the scriptures that we heard this morning, I wanted to focus on the words, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Those words were not just spoken at the time of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on that last day of his life. These are words that were written by the psalmist many centuries before Jesus even was born. They were words that accompanied the coming of a king into Jerusalem, historically a significant thing for the Jewish people. For often they were migrants, people traveling through the land, settling for farming, but always not quite a settled group of people. The word Hosanna means save us. A child would come to a parent and say, I hurt myself, mommy. Or somebody will go and say, why are you crying as a child? The feelings of the person are disrupted. There's inward pain. There's a need to make a correction. And so your presence to the child. But we need people. We get married, we have friendships, we have activities, and they begin to define us over the years of our life as we live our life and make ourselves known to others. But always, regardless of our age, the word Hosanna is one that we need. Because every day there are opportunities where we need to be saved and delivered, to be made more fully human as a person, more willing to be a loving and caring person. The reading for today is a traditional one for Palm Sunday, but it has more roots than just going back into the Davidic kingdom. I talked to Rabbi John just shortly a little bit about this passage, and he told me that it was really incorporated in the liturgy of the Jewish people, and that it really goes back in reflecting on Moses and the call of Moses to be a leader to the people of slavery, the Hebrew people. It was a time when save us was an important factor for those people found in bondage, with no power at all, making bricks without straw, supervised by people who did not care except for making the bricks and building the pyramids. So anciently in the culture of the Hebrew people, save us reflected that period of time in their history. What does it mean for a congregation to say Hosanna? How often has Hosanna been on your lips as a person in reference to the nature and being the Church of Jesus Christ in the contemporary world? I have a feeling that most of us don't really mix the two, Hosanna and the church. Because bulletins are run, pastors come to the office, meetings are held, lunches are served, and probably saving us is not really part of the equation of being the church today. But I find that in saving us as a church, we always are in the process of being renewed in our faith relationship with God, but we are also being renewed in the witness that we bear to the community. I heard that you take cheese to the food kitchen. Betsy and I serve food once a month there. Probably not enough, but it puts us in contact with those who are hungry, who come out of the cold, who look for clothing, but who have a tremendous bond between one another as they sit and eat and share food with one another. But how many others in our society, in our community of Nashua, are really needing saving, and how many organizations go about doing that task? And where are we who come in the name of Jesus Christ as a community to serve him? Jesus almost set himself up for his crucifixion, I might say. He rode on a donkey, the poorest of the means of transportation other than walking on your feet. He came to Jerusalem to make a statement. He'd lived most of his ministry in Galilee and Capernaum and other places. But now was the hour to move to Jerusalem. Because in Jerusalem there rested most of the power that controlled the life of the people. And if you remember the story about Jesus and what happens this week up to Thursday, he went up to the temple and he upset the money changers' tables and called them a den of thieves. He spoke to the Pharisees and asked, was the baptism of John from heaven, or where did it come from? And they were tongue-tied. There was a fig tree that was looking very nice, but it did not produce any figs. And Jesus said, it's going to die. The fruit is not there. No matter how you look at this week, it is a week when God was revolutionary in terms of confronting the very nature of the community that held the power. And it wasn't just the Jewish people, but it was the Roman government. And if you look at the history of the Hebrew people, before Jesus there were revolutions, and Judas Maccabeus gathered people to fight against the Roman soldiers. And afterward, Jesus had died, the temple was broken down. Jesus still lived within the church. I find that Holy Week is a time of reflection. And I feel honored to come and serve communion and the Tenebrae service with you on Thursday. Because it is a time of who we remember we should be and what we are, and where we are going as the people of God. And if you ask me what is the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, it is his congregations. Because as Christ lives through you, he becomes a reality to the kingdom of our world. I don't know how many people might have joined yesterday's parade. I was amazed, because probably there were at least 200 to maybe even 300 people who gathered at Elm Street Junior High School and paraded to City Square. There were children, there were adults, and they were the young people that I really admired the most and have admired in recent days. Because they don't want guns. They don't want to go to school feeling their lives are being threatened. I have a feeling, though, as I listened over a period of time, the voices of the children sometimes were offset by the politicians who were there. Politicians who cannot make a go of changing the laws, improving life, because of the stalemate in Washington, D.C. But we as a congregation, wherever our congregations are, need to hear the voices that are crying in our society, save us. Save us from our dilemmas, our problems. Save us from the inability to resolve. History has shown that the church survives. Some members grow older, new ones come in. Buildings stay the same, they are maintained. New people join the choir, new things happen. But underneath the nature of the church should be the voices of people who say, Hosanna, save us. Deliver us from doubt. Deliver us from shying away from issues that are hard and debatable and are capable of separating us. We are the church of Jesus Christ, who on this day and as we enter Holy Week are the risen body of Christ. And in that strength of being the risen body of Christ, we know that God has been with us regardless of what age we have been, and he will be with us in the future that we will live, that his glory and power may be shown through the witness that we have provided. May that be true for you and all of us as we celebrate this Holy Week together. Let us pray. O God, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the words that you give to me. I thank you for the willingness of people to commit themselves to be the living body of Christ in the world today. To speak for love, to speak of compassion, speak of mercy, speak of resolution of the differences that separate us from one another. O God, may the peace of Christ be with us. For we pray in his name. Amen. Let us join him in singing hymn 215, verses 1 to 3. Seated. Are there prayer concerns this morning that you would like to share? Have I missed everybody? Then let us begin our prayer together. O God, we come this day a worshiping community. We are thankful, O God, for your leading of this church through its lay people and its ministers through the ages. And we are thankful for its pastor, Melinda, and the new Sophia that has been born into her family's life. For you have blessed her and her husband with joy. And you have brought again to our mind that human life is renewed through the children we bring into the world. We pray for the leadership of this church. We ask that it may have a clear vision of where it is going and where you are leading. We pray that they may offer their own prayers of help and praise of your blessings upon the congregation through their witness and labor. We are glad, O God, to live in a city which seems to be peaceful, where the needs of many are met, and where we go about our daily business without any sense of being threatened or oppressed. We come to a nation and live in a nation that seems to be caught in irreconcilable opinions and ideas. And we need, O God, leadership from those positions of leadership that we have elected people to serve our country and state. And we need to learn to speak with one another, not condemning or ridiculing others, but reaching practical solutions that will result in the care of the medical, food, housing, education needs of our communities. We come, O God, and remember the world, a world of constant change in what happens in the nations of our world. And we have seen the hatred, sometimes even religious hatred, that has destroyed human life. We know that there is power behind the dollars and money that is there for people to gather and hold and make themselves even more powerful in making decisions. For those who are wealthy, those who govern, for those who lead, we ask that you give them a clear mind and a compassionate nature, that we may live in a time of fruitfulness and blessing. O God, we ask your help for each of us. And as we gather here in this sanctuary, may we remember those who are sitting next to us. When was the last time we talked together? When did we say hello? When did we know a time of stress in someone's life? We remember that our Lord took time to be with people and shared with them his compassion and his love. Eternal God, we come together with the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We come to that time when we receive our offering. Let us give as we are able, that the kingdom of God may flourish.
Thank you.
Let us join in our prayer of dedication. God, we present our offerings today, knowing that our response to your word is a visible sign of our commitment to building your kingdom. Our offering is our response to Scripture, to our pastor and leaders of this congregation. Through our giving, may healing sprout forth and strengthen to welcome each day increase. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us join him in hymn 214. We have gathered to worship. We are God's people. May you go forth in peace, in love, witnessing to the God who is our Savior through Jesus Christ. May the strength of God give you the power to be his resurrected body in the world. Speaking the words of Jesus, acting compassionately as he did, and giving his life, that the world might know the God who has created us is a God of power and might and comfort. Go in peace this day.